What do you want from a Thomas Cook holiday?
I want to chill out.
Ready for your massage, man?
I want adventure.
Want a great value late getaway this summer? With Thomas Cook, you can fly to beautiful sun-kissed destinations from over 20 airports around the UK. Visit your local Thomas Cook store today or go to thomascook.com. Conditions and credit card fees apply. Adult protected.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Off the Post. I'm Russ Cohen. Anthony Mangione is off on assignment, and we have Mike Ogiello. Mike, how are you?
Good evening, Russ. I am fine. Would be better if a certain team could have held on to a lead at the end of the third period tonight.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. When you have a lead, you'd like to hold the lead, not lose the lead and then lose the game. But, yes, we're talking about Rangers-Habs. A lot of things happened. All right, so the Rangers didn't go a long way in proving that they're a smart team, because they're not. They have not been a smart team all year. A couple things that happened that were ridiculous. The Henrik Lundqvist losing his stick. Now, apparently there were conflicting reports, like the NBC guys, Roenick and Anson Carter, thought that somebody should have given him the goalie stick, and Ray Ferraro is like, you can't. And Ray Ferraro is right. Ray Ferraro is the one that is correct. You have to wait for a stoppage. Now, you can give him your stick, but goalies hate to use a player's stick because of the balance and everything, and Lundqvist never does that. And my biggest thing was, and what I was not quite yelling, but almost in my living room, was like, why doesn't somebody dump the puck over the glass? Why doesn't somebody trip another player? Why don't they just fall on the puck and deal with it on the penalty kill? You still have a better chance than a goalie with no stick. They didn't do that.
No, and it was puzzling. I mean, first of all, it wasn't like the stick was knocked out of his hands. The stick broke in two pieces. And from what I saw, because I didn't see the goal live.
And I've never seen a goalie stick break like that. Have you?
No, never. I mean,
never.
I mean, do they not have composite goalie sticks? I mean, I don't know. I've never bought a goalie stick in my life, but I mean, but it broke right at the junction between the stick and the wider shaft part of it, and then he was screwed. Now I believe the rule does say, though, he's like, the goaltender is the only person who can use a broken stick.
I don't think so.
There used to be a rule that maybe it was changed, but I do remember. But that being said, I mean, Henrik, there is an invention called Velcro. You lost the damn stick, I think, four times in that game. It was puzzling, and then, you know, I'm sure we're going to go into a little more detail, but then Nick Holden on the tying goal, you know, his stick gets snapped in two, and as Ferraro pointed out as they were reviewing it, if he had a stick, he would have been able to tie up Plekanec, and Plekanec wouldn't have had a free shot right in front of the net with 20-some-odd seconds left to go in regulation.
Conceivably. This is Nick Holden we're talking about, and this morning I said he should be on the fourth pairing, and I stick by that. But here's the thing. I believe in the NHL it's not against the rules to be able to use that spray adhesive, and they needed it. Not just Lundqvist, like you said, but other players. Why they're not using that and why they're not applying that when they're on the bench makes no sense to me. Just no sense.
No, and it's obvious, and we're pointing to it, and they lose a game in which they were leading since middle of the second period. It's an excuse, but I mean, it's an obvious excuse because they lost so many handles. You know, they lost the handle on their stick so many times, and not just Lundqvist, there were other players as well. So, you know, I mean, it's disappointing. I mean, you can look at it glass is half full that the Rangers split in Montreal, but as you pointed out on the Buzzcast, the Rangers aren't exactly world beaters at MSG, so now they're going to have to be.
No, and, you know, Lundqvist had to make 54 saves. The team is tired. The team got beat up. They didn't walk away with a win. So those things don't look good, but there's still more. So Chris Kreider makes the Rangers take a timeout because he didn't have a backup stick on the bench. Like, that's just dumb. That's really just absolutely stupid. I don't know the last time that I don't even know if I've ever seen that happen, actually, where a player didn't have a backup stick on the bench, so then the team had to take a timeout.
Can't he just, I know this is a stick, but
I guess he didn't want him.
Right. I mean, I know this is a tool of their craft, and they're specified to length and lie and all those things, but I'm sorry, if Montreal had scored a goal based on the fact that the Rangers didn't have a timeout and they couldn't do a video review, Kreider would have been really, I would have raked him over the coals. I mean, it's bad enough they had to take a timeout for that, but.
Yeah.
Weak.
Yeah, it's just, it's all these little things. Now, again, give Montreal credit. They took it to the Rangers physically. This is why they built their team up. This is why they have the guys they have in the Gallaghers, and, well, Gallagher they always had, but Ott and Martinson and Shaw, and even when they're not scoring goals, they're beating people up. And I don't know if you noticed, but guys like Miller, by the time it was the middle of the third period, they looked like they played 12 periods. So I knew this overtime was not going to be great, or it would go to another overtime, and now this team has a little bit of time to recover, but not a lot. For Sunday, clearly Montreal had a lot more gas in the tank than the Rangers did.
I think it was more desperation than gas in the tank. I mean, if they go down 2-0 going to New York, but you know, that being said, the first 5 minutes of the overtime was in the Rangers' zone. They couldn't get it out.
No.
And honestly, I think the only, and I know this is one of your favorite guys, but the only guy who in the third period was still continuing to lay the body was Tanner Glass. He was hitting Weber. He was one of the only Ranger forwards that was hitting Weber consistently.
He did.
And I think
he decked Weber. It was a nice hit. But here's the thing. There was two things. That's a double-edged sword now because I don't have the numbers, but the Rangers' power play, obviously not very good. Brandon Peary's a power play specialist, but he can't get in there now. Because you do have Tanner Glass playing. So that's one thing. The other thing is they have to make a change defensively. Nick Holden, besides playing on the second pairing, which is dangerous, just not capable of playing against Montreal. He is just, every time he is out there, bad things happen. Montreal gets chances. They know it now, and I think they were setting their lines for it. I don't know who you're going to bring in. Bring in Kevin Klein. Bring in Kampfer. Bring in anybody else. I just think at this point, it's just bad to have him out there because I don't know how you would rate his play, but to me, it wasn't very good.
No, and I was really shocked at how much Vigneault was using Shea and Brendan Smith in overtime. I mean, because to me,
On Holden. That's why.
Yeah. If it's me of those two defensemen you mentioned, I'd put Klein in. I mean, he's played well in the past. I know he's not had a good year, but honestly, I mean, but this is Vigneault, and he's got his favorites like most coaches do, and he'll probably will stick with Holden.
Yeah. All right. So enough of that series. The Rangers go back to MSG. They haven't been good there, so we'll see. That series is now tied 1-1. I had them in six. I had Montreal in six. Right now they're on pace for that. So now we go to Columbus and Pittsburgh. Columbus is just not ready for Pittsburgh. It just, there's no way around it. I picked Pittsburgh in five. I know that when I did that, your eyes got wide, but Columbus is playing even worse than I thought they would against Pittsburgh, and they have to be playing a lot worse than you thought.
I'm dumbfounded because the one thing I thought the Blue Jackets would do in this series, this is their rival, this is their division rival, this is a team they sort of measured themselves against because, you know, Columbus and Pittsburgh are in such proximity. I thought this was going to be a bloodbath, a physical contest, and either the Penguins are not allowing the Jackets to make it physical, or the Jackets are purposely not playing a physical game. Maybe they think that Pittsburgh will get more penalties and their power play will just overwhelm them. All I know is this is not working. They meekly lost two games after that first period in game one. They really haven't done much. And then maybe a signal of things to come, Matt Calvert breaks his stick over the I think it was in the neck of Tom Kunackel, and then shoves
and
him
and then
the
pushes
ice
him down.
Yeah, so I mean, if that might be okay, you know, we're not going to take any more. Like, well, but you might get suspended, Calvert. I mean, it's possible, but
yeah.
I mean, maybe that's what's going to happen.
He should get a one-game suspension. It's a thug move. Yeah. I mean, I was dumbfounded that Markov, when he speared, I forget who it was on the Rangers, Nash, I think, didn't get suspended. He did get kicked out of the game, but it's at the end of the game. So now we're seeing all this extracurricular stuff at the end of the games, and there's no penalties for it. Like, the league's just letting it go. Refs are letting it go.
Well, just to go back to the Rangers game for 1 second, when Ott wasted Zuccarello in the corner.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that that was going to be at least, you know, a double, like maybe even a double minor, because it was a high hit, and then he splattered into the ice. There was nothing, if any, and I think the Rangers came out shorthanded on that because Weber fought Miller and a few other things happened. So, I mean, if the NHL wants, I mean, I like rough and tumble hockey, but you know, that's not what they've really been promoting lately. And if they're going to let things go like that, then you know, I think we're going to have rough and tumble hockey.
We have it. I mean, we definitely have it. Columbus now will be lucky to win a game. I mean, that's really what you're looking at. Crosby's hot. Malkin looks like he's healthy again. They've got no answer for it.
Nope, none. And it's you know, for people who don't particularly want to see Pittsburgh win two Stanley Cups in a row, I mean, I thought Columbus could upset that apple cart, but now, you know, if Washington gets by Toronto, it's going to be up to them, and you know the mental block that they have when it comes to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
It'll be a massive mental block. It'll be an interesting series if it happens, for sure. All right, so I only saw a little bit of the Minnesota-St. Louis. I did see Jaden Schwartz get the game-winning goal. It was an interesting game because at the end you saw that with time clearly run out that Charlie Coyle thought he got a goal, and then afterwards when the goal didn't happen, then all kinds of punches were flying. And again, like, it's just, are the refs going to try and even remotely police any of this? Because it seems like now whoever loses the hard-fought game gets to get a few shots in on the other team, right? It just seems that way.
Right. Yeah. Let go some frustration and let them punch throw a few punches. I mean, yeah.
Throw a few punches. So what?
Yeah. That's, you know, what the hell? Why not? But, I mean, the overall thing of that series is, you know, Zach Parise scored the only two goals for Minnesota, and the goal he scored tonight was on a 5-on-3, which it took him like half of the 5-on-3 to get a good scoring chance. I mean, what's going on here is Minnesota is continuing what they did since March the 1st. They're not getting particularly great goaltending from Dubnyk. I mean, he's not playing bad, but he's getting out goaltended by Jake Allen, and St. Louis is getting the right goal at the right time. When Jim Edmondson is scoring two goals, you know it's just bad.
You're living well then. Yeah, there's no question. Yeah. I mean, Edmondson's going to put those up on the mantle, man. But again, hey, good for the Blues. They're getting some of their gravitas back. Minnesota is still creating chances, but not enough this game, not as many as last game. Maybe they'll be desperate on the road and do better. We'll see. That'll be an interesting one. Looking at the Edmonton game, right now, you know, you've got that feeling out process.
Mm-hmm.
But San Jose is in the driver's seat. Don't you even think it going any other way, because you could even see that if McDavid would have scored early on, maybe San Jose would would gasp a little, or maybe if Edmonton had done what the Leafs did in their first game and scored a couple quick, might have been able to, you know, get San Jose out of this mindset. Right now, San Jose looks like they're in the mindset that they control this game no matter what.
I almost think that the longer this game goes scoreless, the more Edmonton is getting tighter and tighter, because I think they you know, they're a young team. They're bold offensively. They need to open things up. I mean, it's not playoff hockey, but I think that's the hockey that they play, similar to Toronto in the East. And San Jose is not going to allow them to do that. They got up 2-0 in game one, and then San Jose put the clamps on them and climbed back in the game. And if this game keeps going 0-0, and say into the second or the third period, you know, whatever the equivalent of sawdust coming from a composite stick, you know, that's what's going to be coming out of the hands of the Edmonton Oilers.
No doubt. Now, here's an interesting thing. So I guess Calvert did get a lot of penalty minutes at the end because they had 28 penalty minutes to Pittsburgh 6, but it's futile. If you just give a guy penalty minutes, it doesn't even matter. It really means nothing at the end of a game. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, if we don't hear something about the Department of Player Safety having a review by, you know, early, you know, sometimes it even happens like the night of the, if it's a playoff game, the night of the game, but if you don't hear something from, you know, by tomorrow morning, then obviously he skates, and obviously that was just, I guess, a warning shot of what's going to happen in game three. And I mean, strangely enough, I think that's what Columbus has to do. They have to get mean. They have to hit Crosby. They have to, you know, play that rough-and-tumble game that they played during the year. They were not a shrinking violet. They were a team that played physically, and they're not playing physically. At least they're not stepping it up the way I thought they were going to against Pittsburgh.
True. So here's an interesting quote, and this is one of those quotes where you are definitely covering things up. This is Alain Vigneault. After the Habs tying up the game with 17 seconds left. When the puck drops on Sunday, we won't even remember that. Sorry, Elaine, not buying it.
Baloney. Yeah, you had a 2-0 lead. All you had to do was hold on for the last 25, 30 seconds, and you couldn't. And that it hurts. I mean, it you wouldn't be human if it didn't hurt. I mean, so now they have to come up. You see, what he's trying to do is deflect the pressure of, you know, you've got home ice advantage. You now, you know, but you haven't taken advantage of it all year, so you have to do it now. And the pressure swings from Montreal in front of their rabid, psychotic fans to the Rangers at MSG.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's giving props to Lundqvist, and they should. The worry is, though, that as an older goalie, he could get gassed. I mean, this is going the way of the Los Angeles Kings, where they were the bigger team. They were the more physical team. Lundqvist had to make a lot of saves. Lundqvist also won definitely one of those games on his own in the Stanley Cup. Like, it does have a feel for that. And this is tough. I mean, you really – how much more pressure can you put on Lundqvist? And Lundqvist was just – you know, we didn't even mention before when that stick thing happened, after the play finally stopped, he was just beside himself that it went down that way.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, Carey Price has been good. He hasn't been
Superman. No, he's not even fully locked in.
Yeah, and that's an opportunity. That's, you know, when somebody says, well, you blew an opportunity, you know, when we're talking about the Leafs and Caps, about how the Leafs blew an opportunity, well, I mean, you're not going to get many games where Carey Price is human. And if he's human, you got to bury it and you got to win that game.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, this is now a dangerous thing, because if Price were to get hot now, then the Rangers really have some problems. I mean, that's, you look at that and you say, let's see what happens, because he hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been as good as Lundqvist yet. We'll see if all of a sudden he gets that way. That's an interesting one. Now, you know what else I find interesting? You know, I look online, and as soon as a team loses, you know, somebody's got one of those analytics charts, and they have all the nice, pretty colors and all different spots to explain the game away. And I got to tell you, like, most of these games, analytics isn't isn't a factor. It's really not a factor. It's going back to the old school, good goaltending, physical play. Yes, some puck possession does matter. It always has.
Special teams.
But that's, and special teams, yeah. I mean, blowing it on special teams is a big deal.
Yeah, I've been a longtime critic of analytics and the fact that I think that you can justify an outcome of a game after the fact, you know, using analytics. To me, it's sort of empty because I watch the game. I see which team is playing better. I don't need numbers to tell me that. Maybe it sounds ignorant sometimes, and maybe sometimes it is, but that's my point of view. And, you know, like, for example, tonight you watch the first period, first and second period of the Columbus-Pittsburgh game. I think you could tell who's the better team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and this is where I just don't want it to see it out there to justify everything, because it doesn't justify everything. Like, I'm seeing it in the Canadiens-Ranger game. Listen, analytics did not lose this game for the New York Rangers. Some bad coaching choices, having Nick Holden out there at the wrong moment, having a goalie face that many shots, having a team tire out in the middle of the third period and really not controlling the play the rest of the game. How are you putting that on a chart?
Don't ask me.
You know, I mean, that's where you have to just say, all right, there is a, you know, a clear-cut thing, but don't jump on there and put that as your quick answer, because it's never a quick answer. It's not, and these games change every game, right? The momentum changes every game. Things change almost every game in the playoffs.
Yeah, and what I dislike is the fact that, you know, there are, and I have always referred to them as analytics darlings, players who their numbers are great, but if you watch them, they're just not good. But, mm-hmm. you know, because their numbers are good, everybody, and, you know, I know, and I don't know what his end numbers were this year, but a guy like Martin Marinson for the Maple Leafs has long been, well, he's got great possession numbers. No, he's a lousy defenseman, and you saw that last night in the game with Washington, where the tying goal by Justin Williams in the second period, he had the best seat in the house. He was drifting toward the crease, leaving Justin Williams wide open to poke the puck over the goal line, and then in overtime he knocks the puck off the glass and doesn't hit it hard enough, doesn't get enough oomph on it to get it past Tom Wilson, who scores the winning goal. I don't care what his numbers, and if their numbers are positive, he's not a good defenseman. And that's, you know, you can justify a player based on numbers, but if he doesn't pass the eye test, he's not good.
Yeah, and that's really an important factor this time of the year. It's the way it is. But I'll get off the other part. Right now, here's a kind of a tough quote from Ryan Suter. It's a bad feeling right now, but you got to dig deep, and we have to find out what we're made of here. You feel bad when you see that. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's the toughest situation to be a team that is. It succeeded as much as Minnesota has for most of the year to, you know, last 6 weeks not play well, and now, you know, now they're down 2-0 at home, only scoring one goal in both games. I mean, it's, you know, you can't get any tougher than that because, you know, now they go on the road, they go to St. Louis, they have to probably win both games in St. Louis. If they go 3-1 down, you know, it's probably not going to happen for them.
Yeah. Now, here's something from one of the stat centers. Jake Allen's become just the third Blues goalie to allow just 2 goals in 2 road games to start a playoff series, but the first to win both.
Yeah. I have to correct. I refer to him as Jim Edmondson. It's Joel Edmondson.
Oh, yeah, it is Joel, yeah. You think of the outfielder and then you morphed it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I'm getting old. In my old age, I'm yeah, doing that.
So it looks like the 55 saves that Lundqvist made are the most of his NHL career, regular or playoffs. And the debate that's taking place online for that is people are like, well, don't worry, he'll, you know, next game Rangers will figure it out with Lundqvist playing like this, it'll be great. And then, you know, my thinking is, or he'll be gassed. And, you know, people are like, well, he won't face that many shots again. And that may be true. But this was a game that you could see he emptied the tank in this game. It, you know, I got to see what he's going to have next game.
Yeah, I have to see what the Rangers themselves, what the entire team has at MSG. I think, you know, the Canadians came out with energy in game one, I think, and it, you know, in the end, it didn't serve them well because they ended up losing. But I think that's incumbent upon a team when they play first at home. You know, they've got to step up the hitting. They got to step up the speed. They have, you know, show some emotion, get into the game. Because if you sit back and let Montreal come at you and they get an early lead,
yeah,
then I think that's just going to feed into, you know, the insecurities of the Rangers about how well or how not well they play at home.
Yeah. So, again, got to give it to the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's a lot to talk about. Like, there just is. And even in the games that are a little out of hand, there's still stuff to talk about, like Matt Calvert, for better or for worse. But it looks like I do have to go to a different mode here where we have – how long do we have left? We have 3 minutes left. We might go 2 or 3 minutes in overtime because Alan Walsh has tweeted. And when Alan Walsh tweets, it's generally a negative NHL tweet, right? Have we ever seen him put out a positive tweet towards the NHL ever?
Not since after the lockout. Maybe he
Correct.
Did before when Twitter had 6 people on it, but not since.
Okay, so here's his tweet: NHL revenue flat, TV ratings down, not going to the Olympics. It seems like the NHL is happy clawing back 15% of the players' salaries via escrow. I don't know if they're happy about this, Alan. This just happens to be the way it is right now in the country, and the way the NHL still does pretty well at the gate compared to a lot of other teams, a lot of other leagues,
mm-hmm.
but this isn't unheard of in league play and in really in viewing. And so why would he think the NHL is okay with this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I refer to Alan Walsh as the one troll agent out there because I think that it makes his day to just be a contrarian or to be critical. I don't see Pat Brisson or Don Meehan or any of the other high level agents in the league doing what he's doing and basically trying to be the Drew Rosenhaus of the NHL. But, I mean, no, the NHL wants to succeed. I don't think they're pleased with flat ratings or a flat cap or, you know, having to take 15% of the players' salaries in the escrow system and then, you know, not being able to give it back to them at the end of the year because they didn't meet their projections. I don't think that pleases them at all. And I think
him saying
that is just drawing attention to himself.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. This is not something they want, but the fact that they're with online streaming, they're down somewhere around 5 or 6%. Here's the interesting thing: what did the NFL say they were down? Like 20%?
Yeah, I don't remember, but I remember that they were down and their ratings were down, and you know.
Yeah. And this is what happens when there's more things to watch, and right now when there's other world events, you will get some fair weather people that will tune out. This is not mutually exclusive to the NHL like he wants everybody to believe. So, and by the way, how can you control that just so you don't have to give the players their 15%? it's pretty hard to control.
And I'm sure one factor in here, and you know, if it's a flat cap, then players who are free agents will not be getting, you know, increased deals from the players that got them last year, and of course that affects the percentage of the agent. So it's basically he's complaining because he's not getting, probably won't be getting as much money as he has in the past. So I don't have much time for Alan Walsh. Plus, he's blocked me on Twitter, so thankfully I don't see anything that he said.
All right, people should come back because I have a few good quotes to read still, and then we'll call it a week. But Bruce Boudreau, this is the playoffs. Everybody has to battle. Quite frankly, I think we were running out of the way. Uh-oh.
I mean, I've watched not a ton of that series, but I've watched enough to say Minnesota's trying. They've run into a hot goaltender. So I mean, I when a coach is down 2-0, he's almost at a loss for what to say and what to do, and I think that quote sort of reflects that position. I mean, I like Bruce Boudreau. I'd like to see him win, but you know, being down 2-0 doesn't look like he's going to.
Interesting quote from Marty Turco, not a quote, a tweet. Do we have to listen to two versions of why he's suspended, or can we just do the quick version? And he's talking about the Matt Calvert hit. And he's right. Like, if you want real justice, that's what you need to do. You need to come out with basically tonight and just say he is suspended. No phone call, no waiting. None of this. There's nothing that he did that would require you to wait.
Well, I mean, the problem is that the system that has been set up does not allow for them to immediately suspend a player without some sort of review. So it can be a quick review. They could say, we're going to have a hearing tomorrow morning and get it done quickly. But you haven't heard anything about that yet. Maybe it will happen tomorrow morning, but you have to go through the process. I guess that's part of the CBA. So, you have to go through the process.
Now, Zach Cassian had a massive hit on Brendan Dillon in the Edmonton game. You know, looked to be fairly clean. So, but I will say that there's no question that there's a little more leeway on the hits now in the playoffs than there were during the season. Do you notice it, or is it me just looking for something?
Oh, no, I notice it completely. I mean, I thought the regular season, for the most part, was rather tame when it came to hitting. I mean, I think they sent signals early on in the year about, you know, and maybe players are finally getting the message because, you know, you get suspended for 5-6 games. That's a healthy chunk of change coming out of your pocket. But I think right now it's, you know, no holds barred. And, I mean, I think Cassian's hit was a little borderline. He did get penalized for it. I don't think he'll get suspended for it. But, you know, the thing is, he has a reputation. So if it was, you know, a predatory hit to the head type of thing, he could face a suspension, but I don't think that's going to happen.
So one last thing. So in the Columbus-Pittsburgh series, Torts and Sullivan have very similar philosophies, quotes, and otherwise, and reporters are noticing it. But here's a quote from 12 hours ago from Tortorella. You need to trust your players. I'm hoping guys have instinctive play, can't coach/overload team with info. Really?
Yeah, I mean, Torts, I don't know, this is the kinder, gentler Torts. I mean, I know that there was that flare-up late, you know, mid to late season where, you know, it was a team meeting and they wanted him to basically, you know, cool it. And I mean, all I know is that when he's been interviewed by Pierre McGuire, you know, during the TV timeout, he seemed rather he just seemed rather sedate, and that's not the Tortorella that I know, and I'm sure that you know. I mean, I don't know. It's maybe he doesn't think that his, you know, Mau Mau act or, you know, being, you know, will work. with a young team. But I think right now there's desperation there. They're down 2-0, and they have to step it up, or they're going to go out in 4 straight. So I think maybe you're going to see the old sorts.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's another quote. I'm happy where we are as a team. Sucks it was 4-1.
That sounds like somebody is wearing Tortorella's body, and that's not a Torts quote. That doesn't add up.
Here's another one. Don't have one bitch about the team, not one. Anxious to get our suits on again and get back in the building.
Yeah, this is too positive. I mean, we need to send Larry Brooks just there just to get some negativity.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, we're not used to this.
No.
We are just not used to this. But, you know, this is where we are right now. And, again, who knows what's going to happen by the time we come back next week. Teams could already be eliminated. We'll see. But that's it for Off the Post. And Anthony will be back next week, and we'll catch everybody next time.
Good night, everybody.
What do you want from a Thomas Cook holiday?
I want to chill out.
Ready for your massage, man?
I want adventure.
Want a great value late getaway this summer? With Thomas Cook, you can fly to beautiful sun-kissed destinations from over 20 airports around the UK. Visit your local Thomas Cook store today or go to thomascook.com. Conditions and credit card fees apply. Atoll protected.